Welcome to part two of this AAT podcast on filing employer annual PAYE returns. In the first part, we looked at why, when, and what pays you in returns must be filed with HMRC. And I talked about the penalties that HMRC will charge for getting it wrong or for being late in filing the returns. I mentioned that HMRC will charge penalties if we file a paper return instead of filing online. Last year, 2009-10, was the first year that all employers of whatever size were required to file their PAYE returns online. So perhaps this year will be easier, at least for most people that have had to undertake this task previously. I'm sure that some AAT members will be doing it for the first time, but even those of you doing it yet again, the problem with annual return filing is that we only do it once a year, and it rarely becomes a familiar task for most people. So where shall I begin? The pay as you earn regulations require that all employers, with very few exceptions, must now submit their 2010-11 employer PAYE annual returns online. There are very few exceptions. The returns we have to submit online are the P35 employer annual return and the P14s, the summary. It is optional to submit the P38A employer supplementary PAYE return online, but I would favour doing this anyway. The exceptions to online filing are as follows. Firstly, domestic employers who use the simplified PAYE and NIC's deduction scheme. This involves using the simplified P12 deduction card and the P37 return. And these employers do not have to file their pay-as-you-earn returns online. However, the exception does not apply if the domestic employer has previously received any of the online incentive payments that were paid to small employers. Employers who are practicing members of a religious society or order whose beliefs are incompatible with the use of electronic communications do not have to file their pay-as-you-earn returns online. Carer and support employers who employ someone to provide domestic or personal services at or from the employer's home do not have to file their pay-as-you-earn returns online. To qualify as a care and support employer, those services must be provided to the employer or a member of the employer's family. The recipient of those services must have a physical or mental disability or be elderly or infirm. The employer must not have received a tax-free incentive payment in respect of the preceding last three tax years, and it must be the employer who sends the return to HMRC and not some other person on the employer's behalf, such as an agent or a payroll bureau. Finally, limited companies that file a return solely to submit an entry in Box 28 of the P35 Employer Annual Return, the entry for CIS deductions suffered, also have to file a paper return because those returns cannot be filed online. There is no specific claim form to request paper filing, and HMRC guidance tells us that employers who are practicing members of a religious society or carer and support employers should send a written claim to their HMRC office giving full details. My advice is that this should be done sooner rather than later to ensure that the paper returns are received in good time to be able to submit the returns within the statutory deadline of the 19th of May 2011. Section 2. What is online filing? PAYE online filing was introduced following a report by Lord Carter, and as most of you will know, online filing has been extended far beyond PAYE to include self-assessment, corporation tax, VAT returns, etc. Online filing means filing the employer annual PAYE returns, the P35 and the P14s, via the internet or by electronic data interchange. It does not include sending HMRC a file or documents by email. There are a number of options open to AAT members and their employers or clients, including the following. Many will use commercial payroll software, which might already be in use for running the payroll. There we will enter the relevant details into the software package, and that should file the necessary pay-as-you-earn-return forms with HMRC. Many of us will use HMRC's free online returns and forms PAYE service, which is what I use myself and is available on the HMRC website. This is mainly suitable for smaller employers with lesser number of PAYE forms to file. There is no definitive number, but HMRC have quoted between 50 and 100 employees. Some employers will use an agent or a payroll bureau to file the returns online. And here we need to be clear who is responsible for doing what task. Perhaps where the payroll bureau will file the P14s, but the employer will still need to file the P35 employer annual return. The use of electronic data interchange, or EDI, is said to be expensive and usually is used only by very large employers. It has a separate registration process and requires more complicated software and telecommunication links. An employer using this format may still need to register for online filing of the P35. Again, that's something that needs to be clarified before we get anywhere near the filing deadline. As I have already said, some employers will file online by using a combination of these options, where perhaps the P14s are submitted by the payroll bureau, who may often use EDI because of the large number of returns that they have to submit for multiple clients. The employer then submits the P35 separately, perhaps using HMRC's online return and forms PAYE service. It's very important to understand that employers are responsible for the filing, even if they outsource the work. And if in doubt, we need to check who is doing what this year. I must emphasize that online filing should not be left to the last minute, even where the payroll has been reconciled and perhaps paper returns or something equivalent has been prepared in readiness. The online filing of the returns can be undertaken before the end of the tax year, once the payroll has been closed down. Otherwise, I recommend doing it as soon as possible after the end of the tax year and once all the necessary checks have been carried out and the information obtained. I have already logged on to the HMRC system, although it's only the middle of February, and I've made a start on the MY Consultancy end-of-year PAY returns, primarily to ensure that I have the correct login details and also looking for any employer notices from HMRC. I've had an email from HMRC to tell me that some notices have been issued, but I haven't actually received anything yet. I do know that I will get a reminder to do my pay-as-you-earn returns online. I did last year, and I'm bound to get this again this year. Section 3, how to register and enroll for online filing. Many of you will be familiar with online filing because of self-assessment, or perhaps the submission of CIS 300 monthly returns. So apologies for teaching Granny to suck eggs. We will start by logging onto the internet and then go into the HMRC website at www.hmrc.gov.uk/login. If any of you are doing this as I'm talking, you'll be looking at the same screen as me. So here we go. First, we click on either online services at the top of the page between Contact Us and Sitemap, or we can click on PAYE for employers, which is the blue part. The next screen or page that you should see will say, welcome, do you have a user ID and password? If you or your client are not registered, just click on the register tab under no, I am a new user. Next, click on organization and tick the box PAYE for employers. Good, now let's step back and think about what we need in the way of information to register. You or your client will need to have ready the following information before you can register. Firstly, the employer's pay-as-you-earn reference and the accounts office reference. The pay-as-you-earn reference could be something like 951/P for Peter 1234. But the accounts office reference will be 951/PZ or PN or something similar before there's some numbers. We can find the pay-as-you-earn reference and the accounts office reference from the yellow payslip booklet that HMRC provide for employers to make monthly or quarterly payments of pay-as-you-earn and NICs. Because I pay electronically, I no longer have a payslip issued to me, but I have the details on my permanent file. Still looking at the HMRC screen, we then have 5 steps to complete for registration, and we will need to note the user ID reference and also create a password. I always recommend printing a copy of the user ID reference page and that you make a note of the password you've chosen. If you don't want to print this off, copy and paste it onto a Word document and save it somewhere safe. HMRC will send us an activation PIN, but it will only be sent to the registered office or whatever other address that HMRC holds for that employer. So, do we need to tell someone to look out for this and pass it on to us? The activation PIN should arrive within 7 days, and it will expire after just 28 days. So we need to be sure to activate the registration as soon as possible, preferably as soon as it arrives. For those of you who are already registered for online filing, but perhaps haven't logged on since filing the 2009-10 PAYE returns last April or May, do you know where the login details are kept? Do you know where you've stored the user ID and/or the password? We do need to remind clients or colleagues about this long before the deadline for online filing of the returns. I must admit, I've been in some panic situations where someone's left and nobody knows where the predecessor kept the information. If the login information cannot be found, we can click on Lost User ID, Password or Lost or Expired Activation PIN, and HMRC will send us new details. However, that takes time, so we need to ensure that we check this out early enough, even if we're not ready to make a start on filing the actual returns. It will give us time to get new information. Section 4, send in the return online. Next, I want to look at what to do when sending the return online and how to avoid any potential problems that we might encounter. Before I log on to file the actual PAYE returns, I will have run through my own checklist, ensuring that I have the necessary information, including the details for all the employees who have to be included on the return. Also, that the payroll deductions reconciles with the payments made to HMRC, or that I'm clear about any manual amendments and the effect on the returns I am about to file. Another of my checks will involve national insurance numbers, because we have to remember that we are not allowed to use a temporary national insurance number on the annual PAYE returns. If we do not have a national insurance number for any employee, we must include details of their gender and date of birth. So do we have that information to hand? When we file the employer annual return online, it will be checked against HMRC's quality standard to make sure the information we have provided is in the correct format. If a return is rejected, we must correct it and file it successfully before the 19th of May 2011 deadline in order to avoid having to pay a penalty. That is another reason for not leaving this until the last minute. Turning to the actual sending of the online return, we can expect fairly quick response times, both for internet acceptance and for any rejection messages. This will normally be within about a minute, so we should soon know that the job is done or that we have to make a correction. However, larger files will take longer, therefore this may require some patience, and we should not assume that the filing has failed and try again. Online filing through EDI does take much longer because of the size of the files. And the advice is that if a response is not received, then an employer using EDI should contact the online help desk or their EDI account manager. Employers should not attempt to resend the file until it is known that the first submission has not been received, because that could result in duplicate submissions that will create further problems for the employer at a later date. We must always keep a copy of the acceptance message, because I know from experience that we may need that later in the year if HMRC issues a penalty notice for non-submission of the return. Some more good advice is to always send the P35 as the last online submission, because this will allow for amending any P14s that have already been sent before the P35 return is accepted by HMRC as a complete return. No further amendments can be made after the P35 return has been accepted by HMRC, which would mean that any corrections would have to be made by writing to the tax office to explain. There are some special points to note for larger employers who send their returns in parts. The first being that each part must have a unique identifier when it is submitted to HMRC. This will avoid later parts overwriting the parts that were sent earlier. Next, we have to remember that we will be required to confirm how many parts were sent when we complete Part 5 of the P35 Employer Annual Return. Do not confuse the number of parts with the number of P14s. It is said that someone once told HMRC that they'd send thousands of parts, when of course it was thousands of P14s. Also, we should remember that the number of parts does not include the P35 return itself, so that if we submit, say, 5 parts for the 5 branches around the country, plus then submit the P35, we will be notifying on Part 5 of the P35 that we have sent 5 parts, not 6. If we're using commercial software, we may be able to send a test submission to HMRC, and we will receive a message saying that the return has been successful. But please don't forget that we will still need to file it properly, because the test submission will not count as submitting the return. Personally, I don't use test submissions. I do it once and make sure it's correct. Section 5 summary. As I've already said in the first part of this podcast, the completion and filing of the employer annual PAY returns, the P35 and the P14s, is both an important and an onerous task, which is made more difficult because we only do it once a year. The P38A is a form that often gets overlooked and also has to be filed with HMRC by the 19th of May deadline. It is optional as to whether we submit the P38A online or download a paper form and send it to HMRC. I prefer the online filing. The P38S, which I mentioned in the other podcast, does get overlooked because the form has to be retained by the employer for 3 years plus the current year, and it doesn't have to be sent to HMRC. But that's not a reason for not getting the form filled in at the right time. Students should sign the form, complete the details when they first start working, and the employer has to complete the employer declaration at the end of the tax year or when the student leaves. Well, I hope that this podcast will help guide you through the necessary preparation checks and balances. But can I say that the AAT CPD Master Courses, which will be held in London on the 26th of February and in Bristol on the 28th of March, will be another opportunity to look at these procedures. But over the course of a day, that will be in more detail than I'm allowed through the podcast. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I do hope to meet some of you at your branch meetings or on the CPD Master Courses. Goodbye.